Hey, yo. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me. Just going to switch gears here a little bit and talk about the new Star Wars. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Going to be big spoilers. If you haven't seen the third episode of Kenobi, one sec. But if you have seen it, or you don't mind it being spoiled, then we can proceed. Okay, we gotta wait for Beardson. Beardson's gonna join us. Beardson will be joining us to discuss. Oh, hey, Baked Alaska, have you seen it? Feel free to jump in if you have seen it. But Beardson is going to be joining us momentarily on his new Twitter once he makes it. So we'll give him a minute. How many of you guys have seen it? Just a quick show of hands. You know, give me a heart emoji or something if you've seen it, just so you can let me know. Okay, we got a few. Okay, Arizona Chad's seen it. Illegal St. G to Breeze. Dubreeze. Okay, so everybody's, but most of you have not seen it, which is disappointing, because how are you really even going to understand what I'm about to say if you haven't even seen it? That doesn't even make any sense. You guys are just here for the content. Honestly, you know, the more that I do these spaces, the more they're kind of pissing me off because it's turning into like a thing. And the minute that something becomes a thing, in my opinion, it's time to move on. Hate to say it, I like doing these and everything, and I'll probably do more of them, but you know, now I get all these fucking people that are like, what's the next space, Nick? What's it do another space? And it's like, I'm not a dog doing tricks, okay? I jump on these because I'm going off, I got something to say, and once it turns into like a thing, it becomes fucking gay, okay? So I just want to point that out. As usual, as always, I created something cool and exciting and different. And once again, people are attempting to ruin it. The sort of slavish, disgusting masses, once they get their greasy hands on it, absolutely soil it and ruin it, which is disappointing. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And now I get these people in my replies. Go live. When are you going to do it? You should start recording them so that we can listen to them. It's like, who the fuck is we? Who the fuck is we? They go, you need to start recording them so that we can listen to the replays. We? What the fuck are you talking about? We? We who? We the people that listen to the space? Shut up. I will not record them. You're either there or you're not. You're there or you're not. You have to be there. If you're not there, then I don't know. Catch a replay somewhere else. You know, they stream them all the time. They stream them on Cozy, they're on Catbox. The links are on Gamer Uprising. You want to listen to them? Go to Gamer Uprising. Go to the Gentleman's Parlor. Go to the Cozy thread, and they are all there. Okay. Well, you need to record them so we can go back and listen to them. You know, it's the purpose is that it's live. It's a live stream. You know. So, anyway, that kind of gets me a little bit. I've been having fun with these, but now everybody. Now it's this big thing. Now, that's the problem. You know, when you're like a pioneer, you sort of like chart a new course and it's exciting and it's new and it's we're exploring together. And then once you have charted the course, you keep making the same voyage and the feeling is diminished each time, you know, because then it's like, oh, remember when that thing happened? What if we did that thing again? Remember we hit that big wave on our pirate ship? Let's try and hit a big wave again. And it's as time goes on, it's sort of judged against itself, and you know, it's just like anything. So anyway, stop fucking asking me when I'm gonna do it. The more people ask me, the more I don't want to do them. The more people bug me in my replies, come on, do a space. The less I feel like even doing any space ever again. It's like, what? Because I'm going to go live and just turn it on. All right, time for your funny hour. Hey, kids, time for the fucking clown show. Hi. Fuck you. Fuck you. And fuck you for asking me. You know that? Look at my Avi. Look at my Avi right now. Look at my new Avi. That's my face right now. Okay, that's what I look like right now. That's when you ask me, hey, do another space. Here I am again, everybody. Remember when I did this before? It's just like before. That's my face I'm making right now. That's my face when you ask me. This is my face when you ask me to do a space, all right? You see a face like this looking down. All right. So anyway, let me see. Is Beardson on yet? So we had the new Star Wars episode tonight, and honestly, it was cool. You know, it was a pretty good episode. I'm not gonna lie. Everything that I asked for last week, I got this week. Okay, now spoiler alert, spoilers. If you don't want to hear spoilers, don't listen. If you do not want your Obi-Wan show to be spoiled, do not listen, because I'm about to spoil it. I'm about to spoil the best part. So if you don't want it to be spoiled, get out. Okay? Last chance. So everything I asked for last week, we got. We got lightsabers. We got Darth Vader fighting Obi-Wan. We got it. We got some brutal action. I have to say, this series is way better because the Star Wars we've been getting so far is kind of pussy. Like, Star Wars is brutal. You know, you remember Revenge of the Sith. In the first 10 minutes, Count Dooku gets his head cut off, you know, and he's like, his head rolls around on the floor. And Obi-Wan rips open General Grievous' chest plate and shoots his heart until it explodes and it's on fire. That was hardcore. And then, of course, Anakin gets his arm and his legs chopped off, and then he burns alive. You know, it was some serious stuff. It was, even in Anakin got his arm cut off, and people are getting, you know, cut down in the Clone War. And since then, we're not getting a lot of this grisly violence that we need. We're not getting a lot of this graphic violence. It's sort of like Mickey Mouse, you know, because it's Disney. And what I've liked about the show so far is, like, there's dismemberment. There's, like, people getting chopped in half and stuff. That, like, woman gets her hand cut off by the Sith Inquisitor. That was catch. She got her fucking hand cut off. And in this one, a stormtrooper falls off a ledge and falls through a laser, and he gets chopped in half. And Darth Vader goes and just starts cutting people down, starts choking this guy's dad and kills him. And then the little boy runs out and he's like, hey, that's my dad. And then he gets his fucking neck cracked by the Force. That was awesome. Like, that's exactly what we pay to see. That's what I pay, you know, whatever it is, $10 a month for Disney Plus. That's what I'm paying to see. I'm not paying to see Darth Vader go and, you know, punch, bonk people on the head. I'm paying to see Darth Vader go in the town and, you know, drag the guy out of his house by his neck and then snap the kid's neck. Here we go. Here's Beardson. Well, hang on. Let me finish my monologue. Then I'll bring in. Okay, because you got me going. You're late. Now I gotta get going here. I gotta wrap up my monologue. Well, you know what? I'll bring in, but you gotta listen to this part first. Okay. First of all, hey, how's it going? Welcome,
hey.
Welcome everybody. Beardson Beardley on the space. Good evening.
It's Beardman Beardley now. I'm changing my name to avoid being
right.
But yeah, go ahead. Go on your monologue. I want to hear it.
Yeah, well, hey, welcome to the space here. Great to have you for your take on Star Wars here. So like I said, you know, that was awesome. Darth Vader's back. He was back in the beginning. We see him in the back to tank. We see the sort of suit being assembled. We see him come into the town. Well, we see him do the mission with Reva. And then we get to see him go down to the village. And he's going to meet Obi-Wan. And he's choking people, drags the guy out of his house, breaks the kid's neck, dragging the other girl behind him. Just like brutality. And I like this because, you know, Darth Vader is evil. And we never really got to see that in the original trilogy. We've, like, heard about it from the extended universe that he was, like, a beast and stuff. But you don't really get that in the original trilogy. You don't get a lot of in the prequel, you get it. You see Anakin kill all the Tusken Raiders. You see Anakin kill the kids. You see him kill a Jedi. But as Darth Vader in the original trilogy, you don't really, he's sort of chasing the rebels around. Ah, you know, they got away again, that kind of thing. And what I like about like Rogue One, when he's entering the Tantive IV, is he cuts them all down, man. He's flinging them around the spaceship, all the rebel soldiers. And then in this one, same thing. You get him like killing civilians. You get him, you know, breaking a child's neck. It's nothing because he's Darth Vader now. He's in the dark side. He's the most feared, and there's a reason. He's an, you know, number one enforcer of the Empire, and we're getting that. And then we got to see Obi-Wan and Anakin fight it out. We got to see lightsabers. We got to see blue and red. Very awesome. You know, it's dark out, blue illuminating Obi-Wan's face, red illuminating Darth Vader. We got to see him burn Obi-Wan alive. Awesome callback. And it works. It fits because, you know, Obi-Wan's been in hiding for 10 years. You know, how do you get from Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith where, you know, I have the high ground to episode 4 where he's weak? You know, and in New Hope, he's weak. He gets he obviously can't overcome Darth Vader. And so, you know, 10 years after Revenge of the Sith, we're seeing he's on his way down as a lightsaber user. He's atrophied. The Clone Wars is over. He went from fighting battles to, you know, working at some scrapyard on Tatooine. So it works. So he's just getting dominated by Darth Vader. He's on the lightsaber with the Force. Awesome. I have to say, though, I'm just, you know, the general disappointment is this little girl thing. I have to tell you, like, I just, I don't like this little girl thing. Like, why does that have to be such a prominent part of the story? I could honestly do without that entirely. All right, you're jumping in. Yeah. You're jumping in. Now let's hear, what's your take on all this?
No, I agree with everything that you said. The Darth Vader shit was incredible. Like, that was awesome. That's what the show needs to be, because, like, to me, like, the first two episodes had, like, glimmers of, like, really cool stuff in it, you know? But it was, like, surrounded by all this garbage, like, Black Inquisitor, you know, girl or whatever, and little girl plot and everything else. Like, the real good parts of the show is Obi-Wan, like, you know, his torment, his, you know, having the PTSD and everything behind everything. And in this episode, like, it opened up strong. Like, you know, the suit coming together, that was awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, like the whole fight scene where he like the pyrite rocks, lights it on fire. Awesome. That was so cool. He drags him through and he was like, I'm going to make you feel the pain that I felt. Like, that was great, you know? And he's like, you should have killed me when you had a chance. Like, that was awesome. All that stuff was really cool. And then it's like right in the middle of all that, we got to cut and check out what the fucking little girl's doing though. Like, that's the part that it's like everything aside from like the central conflict sucks. But the central conflict is awesome, so it makes the show worth watching.
Yeah, I agree, because it's like, you know, I get it, like, it's a show, so you need to have a little bit, you need a little extra, because Star Wars has always been like sort of an ensemble cast. But I just, like, we've done this before, you know, we've had Mandalorian with Baby Yoda, and I'm just sick of this, like, daddy daycare Star Wars. Yeah. We saw that with Anakin and Phantom Menace. We saw that with Baby Yoda and Mandalorian,
with Luke and Yoda, dude. Like,
yeah, yeah. I'm done seeing kids. I don't want to see kids anymore. And it'd be one thing if she was in it for a sec. You know, she was like, that kind of makes sense. It's because Princess Leia recognized Ben Kenobi in New Hope, so it's like it makes sense that they know each other, but do it in like one episode, two episodes. And the other thing too, you know, they're on this planet together and we keep getting this Mary Sue bullshit where she's like, you know, Obi-Wan and her intercept some, you know, guy driving a speeder or whatever on his way, a land speeder on his way to the thing. And she does all the talking and she's like, come on, say hi. And it's like, are you kidding me? This is a Jedi Master. And like this little girl, once again, is bossing him around and dragging him around. Like, it makes Obi-Wan out to be a bitch. This is a Jedi Master, and he's being made out to be a bitch.
Yeah, and then they also like had him like slip up the name and everything too, and like, And then, like, the other part that, like, really got me, too, is, like, he just got done taking out, like, 5 stormtroopers, and then here comes this truck with, like, 3 of them, and then he's like, ah, oh, well, we're finished now. Like, yeah. What the fuck was that? What?
I know,
that was retarded.
Yeah. Well, and the whole time, I'm thinking, pull out your lightsaber. It's like, they know it's you. Why can't you use the lightsaber? They know it's you. Like, when the probe or whatever he said, what are those things called again? Is it a probe?
It was a probe, yeah.
Yeah, when the probe scans his face, they know he's the Jedi. So tell me then, what's the argument against using the lightsaber at that point? Use the lightsaber. Yeah.
Or the Force, even, because he clearly still has, like, you know, he used the Force in Episode 2, like, you know, no problem. So it's like he's clearly still in tune with the Force, right? So it's like... Yeah, I don't know. That whole part made... And he was like... I didn't really get, like... There was, like, dialogue, too. He was, like, snapping at the little girl for some reason. Like, out of the blue. He's like, people aren't good. Or whatever. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, that's so uncharacteristic of Obi-Wan, you know?
Yeah, true. And, that was... And the other thing, too. Here's the other thing I kind of had a problem with. Is at the end... How did they let him get away? What are you kidding me? Like, they shoot the fire and the fire starts again. And then they literally let this robot come out of nowhere and pick him up and walk away. And they're like, oh, well, he just blew the fire out. He just blew the fire out 2 seconds before. He sets the whole thing on fire, drags Obi-Wan through the fire. Then he blows the fire out. He's like, okay, go get him. Then she shoots the fire. The fire's back up. The droid picks him up. They're like, oh, fuck. All right, well, he's gone. He's just gone.
Yeah.
It's like, go around it. Go through it. Use the Force. Like, well, what do you mean? You can't... This is now like you can't get around this obstacle? That just didn't even make any sense.
Yeah, Vader's just, like, literally just sitting there, like, standing, like, watching him, like... And he's like, oh, shucks. He's gonna get away now. And then he's like, walks away. And I'm like, what is going on? What happened? Like, the two set... Are you tired? Did you get sleepy between... Like, did you run out of Force juice or something? Like, what the fuck happened, dude?
He just put the fire out. Just do that again. Put the fire out again. And then, there he is.
Yeah. Like, it makes no sense. Yeah. It's just, like, totally sloppy. Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, this show is, like, the biggest, like, hit and miss ever. Because it's like, dude, when it hits, it's awesome, right? Like, the whole part, like, where, like, with the lightsabers, they're fighting, that part was badass. And then it's like, but then you have to deal with like 8 million instances of like just totally retarded shit that makes no fucking sense. Dude, like in Episode 2, like, I don't know if you had this problem, but remember there was like 3 people on the roof shooting at Obi-Wan? He only shoots like one of them, remember? And then like the other two just like fuck off, basically.
I think he shot the robot. No. No, the robot chased him down. Yeah, you're right. He did only shoot the big guy.
Yeah, and then the other guy just like, ah, well, shucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so there's some flaws. I agree with you. I mean, it's the problem is with all these shows is they're just sort of sloppy. You know, like, everything in my opinion, in the prequels basically made sense. Like, there was never a time when I'm like, oh, like, well, that doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, it all basically sort of added up. You know, like, for example, when Darth Maul kills Qui-Gon, like, Obi-Wan literally cannot get to him. Like, it works. Yeah, he tried to go through the laser shield. It was demonstrated to us that the lightsaber can't go through it. So he had to sit there and watch his master get killed. You know, like, that made sense. And all the stuff, I mean, I guess there's some, like, maybe Jango Fett should have slipped off the platform in Attack of the Clones. Like, you know, there's some stuff that's not perfect, but... In this case, it was like, it's all sort of like plot armor. And I hate that he keeps getting saved by girls. Like, I hate that, like, Obi-Wan, like you said, the stormtroopers roll up and the girl, like, he's like, oh, well, we're finished. 3 stormtroopers, that game over. And then the girl kills him. Oh, wow, you saved the day. Then he's about to get captured by Darth Vader. And oh, there she is again on the cliff. Boop. Now he's cool again. You know, they keep turning these characters into like helpless. It's like never enough that you could just have like a great hero. Boba Fett's got to be saved by the girl. Obi-Wan's got to be saved by the girl. Everybody's got to be saved by the girl. Like, why?
Well, because, you know, girls are the new Star Wars demographic, obviously. Don't you know a lot of little girls are buying Star Wars now? So we gotta make sure that the girl bosses are well represented, I guess. It's so infuriating, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I don't like this new universe. And then do you see Disney today? They said there's many species in the galaxy. Don't be racist or whatever. Everyone hates Reva.
Yeah, that was so dumb, dude. And the thing is, too, it's like, it's not like Star Wars has never done that. Like, obviously, like, Leia, like, had her instances. But it was like a like, they used it as, like, a subversion of expectations, right? Like,
yeah,
it was like, they like, it's like, yeah, women are weak. So, like, this is, like, shocking that Leia would be able to come save the day or whatever in this one instance, you know? They didn't do it every 5 minutes. You know, it was the bumbling white male hero is getting rescued by the awesome badass girl with a blaster, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's just about like what's within reason. You know, it's like you said, it's reasonable that in a galaxy, because there were female Jedi masters. You had Yaddle, you had Shaak Ti, you had Aayla Secura. You know, you had female Jedi. But they were also women, you know, and it wasn't this like, cause what they're doing now is just having the women like deliberately supplant the men. It's like they used to have like male heroes, like, you know, traditional sort of role. And like you said, the women would sometimes as a, like you said, in a subversive way, be like, oh, you thought she was a princess, but you know, she's kind of badass too sometimes, but it wasn't like, hey, step aside, asshole. I'm here now. I've got a pussy and I'm here now, which is what it is now. It's almost like before it was sort of pro-male and pro-female. Now it's like anti-male. It's like pro-female at the expense of male. And that I don't like. Baked Alaska's in here. Baked, why don't you jump in here, huh? Mr. Pog, we see you. We see you, Mr. Pog. Jump in, huh?
Yeah, why so quiet?
Yeah, why are you so quiet? Request to join, buddy. Unless he's occupied with something right now.
Guess he's not. Occupied collecting too many pogs right now.
Yeah, he's pogged up right now. Pogged up Groiper style. I sent him an invite to speak, so we'll see if he joins us. But yeah, I got to say, third episode, pretty good. Feeling good.
Yeah, much better for sure. Like, and I'm hopeful that if it keeps going in this direction, like, I think it'll turn out to be a overall like pretty good product. Like episode one, I wasn't too on board. Episode two, I was like, maybe it's getting a little bit better. So I mean, I will say the show's getting better as it progresses, at least.
Yeah, episode one unwatchable. Episode two, you know, decent. Episode three, good. So yeah, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with our product that we got today.
Yeah, I'm a happy consumer, you know.
I'm a happy camper. I'm as happy as a clam that just consumed a product.
I'm just glad the whole thing doesn't take place on Tatooine. That's really what I was expecting, and I'm really glad that it's not all on, like, fucking Tatooine being the center of the fucking universe somehow, dude. Like, this shitty-ass planet, just that's where everything important happens, apparently, so.
I just want to see some water. I want to see some water, some lava. The problem is even these other planets like Kessel or Jakku or this one that they're on now, it's like, it's just sort of like, when are we going to get to see something like a new biome, you know? Like, yeah, it's good that we're off Tatooine, but you know, we're on this mining planet. Haven't we done that too? They were on a mining planet in Solo, and it's still like a dead-like planet, you know? So
yeah,
I'm with you, but also I feel like we could get a little bit more creative than that. You know, I feel like we get a little bit more novel.
I really like feel like I wouldn't say necessarily the show like looks cheap, but I do get the feeling that they shoot it on like a smaller budget than like Mandalorian. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the problem is with these movies is the budget is way smaller than it is on the movies. Like, I wonder actually how much they cost. I want to look it up right now because, I mean, you know that they're not getting a feature film budget.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. It's $25 million per episode. So yeah, that's $150 million.
Yeah, and at least like one or two is going to fucking Ewan McGregor alone and Hayden Christensen, you know?
Yeah. Oh, actually, you know what? Hey, I stand corrected. Revenge of the Sith, the budget was only $120 million.
Well, yeah, that's true, but you got to think that's $100 15, 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, true. Let's see. Let's do some math here. Let's see. Inflation calculator. Yeah, good point. I didn't even think of that. Okay, let's take a look. Yeah, because that was 20 years ago. I'm forgetting how long ago that was. 2005.
That was when the money was good.
It's 48% more. So, let's see. It's 112 times 1.48. Okay, 165. So it's not like much more. It didn't cost much more to make Revenge of the Sith than it cost to make this.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is too is you got to think that was what, an hour and a half of 2 hours of content versus how many episodes are they doing? Six.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's six hours versus 2.5.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I guess dollar. Yeah, you know what? You're right again. Dollar per minute. If you're gonna judge it, dollar per minute. Let's see what the runtime was. We're getting technical here. We're getting very, very technical. 140 minutes. So that's 2 hours, 20 minutes. So let's do 165 divided by, what did I say, 140?
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting $1 million per minute. $1.2 million per minute versus 150 divided by 360 is $400,000 per minute.
Yeah.
There's
your difference. Yeah. Well, and that's also too, I mean, it's just the people that were making movies back then as opposed to now really had, I guess, a lot more love and care into the craft of it than as opposed to like churning out a new Disney Plus product, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the reason the budget matters is because, you know, to do like a highly choreographed scene costs more money because the actors got to train, they got to bring in a choreographer, you know, like if you remember when they were, if you saw any of the behind the scenes stuff, like to do those intense lightsaber fights, the actors had to train. There were no stunt. Well, I don't know if there were no stuntmen, but they were doing their own choreography. And they had to spend a lot of time with the and over time they did those movies every 3 years or whatever, so they got better. I mean, like not only in the movie but in real life too. Between 2002 and 2005 was only 3 years. So Obi-Wan's picking up a lightsaber at 99 in 05 and in 02 and 05, and now he's picking it up after 17 years. But that's on a technical level. But it costs. It costs more money to do like a big battle scene. It costs more money to do like a star fighter chase. It costs more money to do. And you are like, these shows are clearly low budget. They're like not a lot of characters. That's why they're doing the stealth shit, because it's like it involves very little. It's like anything. It's like watching a Marvel TV show versus a Marvel movie. You're not going to get the same level of, it's not going to be summer blockbuster level production and effects and scenes. One high budget scene at the very end, but this stuff is really sort of peanuts compared to the films.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why it's so important too for these shows to really like deliver on like the dialogue and the characters, you know what I mean, and stuff that we're like, it's more about quality than it is, you know, budgetary constraints. And that's where this show kind of misses, and I think it's like a kind of a missed opportunity. Like they hint at it and they like kind of go into it like a little bit with, like, you know, because Obi-Wan clearly has, like, seen some shit. His mentor dies, his Padawan he had to, like, put down, essentially. He finds out he's still alive, but, like, they really only, like, gloss over that for, like, a minute, and it's like, all right, back to sassy little girl being like, what's the Force? You know?
Yeah. Can you teach me how to shoot a blaster?
Dude, I hate all of, like the obvious foreshadowing. You know what I mean? Where they're like, wow, that girl's going to be a fighter one day.
And, ugh.
Like, I swear, I'm waiting for the actor to just, like, turn right into the camera and just, like, look straight into my eyes and tell me that. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, fine whenever they showed, like, Luke, like, doing, like, the pod racing thing. I was like, eh, it makes sense, you know, like, whatever. And then it's like, but it's always like with Leia, they do that. They're like, wow, she's going to be a fighter. And I'm like, just fuck off, man.
Yeah. It's just like blame fan service, like way on the nose, not subtle. What are we doing at that point? You know, like, you know, what's the end game? So I don't care for that. And they've been doing that throughout, you know, they've been doing that throughout all the new stuff they've been making since like 2015. Cause like in the prequel, you had it, but it was sort of like, it was artful, you know, like the parallels. There's a really good channel on YouTube. I forget the name of it, but it goes into the prequels in great detail and talks about how, like, for example, Empire Back, they say, is a good movie because it made Star Wars feel familiar but also fresh. And it did that by basically inverting what happened in New Hope. You know, in New Hope, you know, they go in there at the very end, big battle, Death Star, and it's like, well, at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, it starts out with the big battle, and the Empire crushes the rebels. And, like, there's all these inversions that are happening. Like, Luke is upside down in the Wampa's lair. He's upside down on Dagobah. He's hanging upside down in Cloud City. There's, like, all these inversions. And it talks about how there's, like, this very artful sort of literary device happening. And it talks about how even the prequels then mirror the original trilogy. And if you look at Attack of the Clones, there's all these parallels to Empire Strikes Back, where it's like at the end of the Attack of the Clones, you have the Republic crushing the droids. And the same way that at the beginning of Empire, you've got what the Republic became, the Empire crushing the rebels. The Confederacy were the rebels. You know, the CIS, the Confederacy Independent Systems, in the prequel trilogy, were rebelling against the Republic because, you know, obviously Palpatine engineered that with the Trade Federation and everything. And so in Attack of the Clones, you've got this droid army in retreat. They're like the rebels, you know, of the prequels being chased out by the Empire. And like this, and so it's like that's an extremely subtle thing that you wouldn't really get unless you sat there and really thought about it. Or even like, you know, in the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, when Anakin has the blue and the red lightsaber crossed in front of Count Dooku, and it represents, you can see the red and the blue, like the good and the evil. And remember Palpatine said, you know, Anakin's like, I shouldn't, it's not the Jedi way. And Palpatine says, he goes, I shouldn't have done that, it's not the Jedi way. He was too dangerous to be kept alive. And then when Mace Windu was about to kill Palpatine, what did Anakin say? It's not the Jedi way. He must stand trial. And Mace Windu says he has control of the Senate and the courts. He's too dangerous to be kept alive. And in that moment, dude, in that moment, Anakin realized that what Palpatine said was true. Palpatine didn't think that the dark side was good necessarily. What he did was introduce this, like, obfuscation. He introduced this sort of equality between the two. He created an equivalency, and he said, you know, good and evil is a matter of perspective. Remember, he said, you know, the Jedi do their thing, but they're not so different from the Sith. It's really more about perspective. It's about, you know, what side you're on. And he basically obfuscated it to the point where it seemed like it was sort of arbitrary. And when Anakin has, or when Mace Windu has his lightsaber to Count Dooku, like Anakin had to Palpatine earlier, and Mace Windu repeats back to him what Palpatine said, he's too dead to be kept alive. In that moment, he realizes that it's Hatfields and McCoys. The Jedi killing the Sith because they're too dangerous, vice versa. And at that point, he was like, well, you know, listen, Palpatine is going to do something for me that the Jedi can't. The Jedi, you know, were mean to me and they bullied me and they told me I couldn't get married. And Palpatine could save Padme. So, you know, in an instant, he thought about the woman. And he makes Windu's hand. And it's like, that's a thing that you probably wouldn't even pick up on until you watched it like two or three times. And then, you know, and we get in these movies, you know, you get fucking 10-year-old Leia like, can you teach me how to shoot a blaster? She's going to be a good fighter one day. A wink, a wink. Or they might as well just, like, play a clip from, you know, and, hey, pull up that clip from New Hope. See, this is what we're talking about. Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, half, like, a lot of people like Rogue One. I wasn't a big fan of it because I really felt like half, I mean, like, the Vader scene was awesome, right? Like, that was fucking cool. But the half of the movie is like, hey, remember that guy's like trying to fight Luke in the bar, in the cantina? Wow, we just happened to bump into him on the street. And he's like, watch where you're going, you know?
Or like,
yeah. It was like, dude, really? Like, how, like, it is, when they do stuff like that, it makes this, it makes the Star Wars universe feel so fucking tiny to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else outside of it. Like I said, like, the entirety of Star Wars revolves around, like, Tatooine and, like, Jabba the Hutt and the cantina. Like, dude, how many fucking cantina bands are out there in the fucking Star Wars universe all playing the same fucking song, dude? Like, holy shit. You know?
Yeah.
But that's one thing I liked about this, though, too, is, like, at least with this, they were, like, one thing that, like, I picked up on, and it's, like, you know, I'm autistic, so maybe, like, I'm seeing this, and, but there's, like, alien types and stuff in the Obi-Wan show, which I really like. Because it seems like in all of this new Star Wars stuff that they've made, it's always been like this. It's like, hey, it's like a fish guy, just like Admiral Ackbar, him, but it's a guy just like him, you know. And it's like, oh God, man, can we do something? And like, this is supposed to be like millions of species or something in Star Wars, and it's like we're always seeing, like, where are the Wookiees at? By the way, we haven't seen any fucking Wookiees at all. Like, out of all, like,
in
we get to see fucking
in Boba Fett, they have a Wookiee.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, yeah. So
I didn't watch Boba Fett.
Yeah, well, pump your brakes, big guy, because, yeah, there is a Wookiee in Boba Fett.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, dude, I want to see Kashyyyk, man. I want something to take place on Kashyyyk, dude. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sick. Or,
yeah, the tree houses and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that would be sick too.
I want to see more.
But no, it's just just Tatooine. All you get's Tatooine, dude.
And these like sand lizards.
Yeah. Honestly, at this point, I'd be okay with going back to Hoth, dude. Like, you only see Hoth really in Empire, and granted, there's like nothing there, but still.
Yeah, I just want diversity, you know.
Yeah.
I agree about the new aliens in this one.
Yeah, it's cool. That's a lot of like variety, you know. And like I said, like it's stuff like that that makes the universe feel bigger. And I just think like a lot of the new movies and stuff never really did anything like that. So I thought that was like really cool, and I liked that city, honestly. I mean, it wasn't anything really special, but it was like, I don't know, it was like refreshing to see like a Neo Tokyo looking, you know, cyberpunk place in Star Wars.
Yeah, I guess.
It's not like a new aesthetic necessarily. I mean, you could have ripped that from like 100 different things, but seeing it in like the Star Wars universe, I guess, was like slightly refreshing. And again, maybe it's just because we've seen fucking Tatooine 8 million times. It's like, you know, dude, I think Tatooine was in all three of the new movies, like all three of them, like for some reason. Like, well, we got to go back to Tatooine again. We got to get this fucking disk drive so we can get on the fucking ship so we can go find Kylo Ren or whatever.
I honestly don't even remember the new ones at all. I remember Rise of Skywalker, but I don't really remember the other ones because I just like, there's no rewatchability. There's like no, they're not like lovable films. You know what I mean? Like there's no care put into them. Like, and it's definitely not just because I'm older. Like, because I watch Joker and can fall in love with the lines and I can fall in love with the character. And same thing with Batman. You know, I could go and watch Batman and see Riddler and it's like iconic Keanu, you know, you love it. So it's not because I'm older. There's stuff that I love like that as an old fart. It's because there's no care. What's the memorable dialogue in these films? Like, what's one memorable thing that Rey ever said? Rey was like a joyless, lame character. Same with Kylo Ren, another joyless, pouty, lame character. And the whole thing, like the Marvel stuff, you know, Star Wars 1, 2, and 3, as cringe as they were, endlessly quotable. And you remember the scenes, too. They were, like, iconic. You know what I mean? Like, you remember the sounds and the ships. Like, that's the other thing. There's one new sound that I've heard. I remember when Phantom Menace, when I watched Phantom Menace, within, like, the first scene, you have, like, the destroyer droids rolling down the hallway, iconic sound. You have the Trade Federation people, what are they called? The Nemodians or whatever. And you have this memorable scene where they're like, dude, like, I get the chills when Qui-Gon sticks his lightsaber through the door and they're like, he's still cutting through, you know, and then he gets in. And like, I don't hear any of these memorable sounds. Like, throughout the prequel trilogy, you're hearing like cannons and ships and blasters and like totally novel stuff. Like, remember in that scene when the MTTs deploy on Naboo, it's come out and you hear the sound of all the droids being set up, they like an army. That was like, holy shit. I can't think of one memorable like sound, a new ship, like anything memorable. All the ships look like shit. I'm sorry, the Inquisitor ship looks like shit. The Mandalorian ship looks like shit. These ships, they look like shit.
I like that the Mandalorian ship looks like shit, though, honestly. Like, I think in that particular instance, it works just because he's supposed to be like this, like, fucking, you know, scavenger bounty hunter kind of guy. And I kind of like the fact that what's it called? The Raven Crest or Razor Crest or whatever. I kind of like that it's just like some like beat up like piece of shit that he's just like flying around on.
I hate that because I have these iconic ships. It's like a car, you know. You have a badass character with a badass car, and you know they could lose their ship for a minute or whatever. Maybe it takes them an episode to get it. Where's the cool ships? You know, Han Solo has Millennium fucking Falcon.
Yeah,
and Darth Vader has his TIE fighter, and the Rebels have the X-wing. This is cool. The slave shit. Yeah. Even on Bespin, you have the cloud speeders, right? The Bespin fighters or whatever. In the prequel trilogy, you get General Grievous has a cool ship, that bomber, and the Jedi keep getting new ships. You know, they get their. There's the V-shaped Jedi fighter in Attack of the Clones. There's the other one in Revenge of the Sith. The Naboo starfighters.
Are those the yellow ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are nice, dude. Yeah. Well, and also,
and
too,
what do you get?
We also had, like, the pod racing cars, too. Like, all those looked really fucking cool. Like, Sebulba's car, where it's, like, he's got the two engines, and he's just, like, you know, it's, like, got the cords on it, and she's just in little, like, that looked awesome.
Well, and even Count Dooku's ship. You know, I remember Count Dooku's ship when he escapes Geonosis. That was awesome. And now these ships just look like junk. They just literally junk. I can't think of one, like, badass, sexy ship. Even in Phantom Menace, Darth Maul has a kick-ass ship. That, like, red ship that blows up at the beginning. This is cool stuff. The ships aren't cool. The sound design isn't cool. Remember the sounds of the pods and the pod race? They're like, goo, 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 goo. You know, it's like they have cool ass sound design, you know? And now the sounds just like they're just reusing all the same shit, or it's just like generic sci-fi sounds. I want that, like, that was honestly a big part of the appeal of the original trilogy, was people had never heard sounds like that before, like the sound of an ATA walking, you know? Or like the sound of the Death Star laser, all that kind of stuff. It was like brand new. It wasn't just like pew pew, you know. It was like cool new sounds. So that just gets back to, I mean, this is okay stuff, but it just isn't. It's just not Star Wars. It just literally is a different. It's a different franchise. The old stuff, you know, it's those details that it was known for. That's what made it one of the best, biggest movies of all time. It was sounds, it was sets, it was characters, it was a bunch of stuff nobody had ever seen before. The prequel trilogy, they did it again. They're like, let's make more stuff that no one's ever seen before or heard before. And now they're just sort of like putting us in Well, this planet's like a desert. Oh, well, this planet's like a city. This planet's like a desert planet. Like, and oh, hey, remember, how about this droid? Like the droid in this one, it was literally just like a big robot. Don't you remember the droids in like the Death Star, like a mouse droid, where they were like zipping around before Darth Vader walked in, and they were like, you know, and they had these like little mouse droids scurrying around, or like a Gonk droid getting fucking burned alive in Jabba's palace and screaming. Do you remember that? And like IG-8, and you know, these were like, you know, you had a R2-D2 astromech droid, you had C-3PO, like these are cool droids. What do we get now? Like, oh, this droid is like a, it's like a big guy. This droid's like a big guy. The Rogue One droid is just a big black droid. The droid in this one is just a big yellow droid. It's just a big guy, but he's a robot. And even the droids that Luke Skywalker kills, they're like big black droids. They're like stormtroopers, but they're droids. Like, you know, it's just like, it's just becoming very conventional is the point. It's becoming very worldly. It's becoming very conventional. It's sort of falling into a pattern that like is just sort of uninspired. That's all.
Yeah, it all comes across as just like very lazy in a lot of ways. Like it's like they're just trying to, and this is how I think I would say about the entirety of like all of the Disney products of Star Wars. It's like they're just doing whatever they can do to make it feel like Star Wars and then stopping right there without really fleshing any of it out. Even the music, really. I mean, I'll say like with Obi-Wan, in regards to Obi-Wan, like I do like the main Obi-Wan theme, but that's because it's John Williams that did it. You know what I mean? And I get that, like, you can't have John Williams just do, and not everything has to be like an orchestral score or whatever. Like with Mandalorian, like what they did with the music, I think works. But it's like I'm listening to like the music in the show, and it's just like, I don't know, like I'm watching like CSI or something. It's just like generic, like synth shit. And I'm just like, this is boring, you know? Like Star Wars always had great music. Like, dude, the music's probably my favorite part of the prequels, like Duel of the Fates. Like, how do you not love that? Like, how do you not just the hair on your back, your neck just like rises up every time you hear that, you know? And in this, it's just like, meh.
Yeah, that is another big part of it. Like, it just gets back to this becoming like another generic sci-fi movie. It's a generic sci-fi movie with generic sci-fi characters, generic sci-fi music, like the battle between Kylo Ren and Rey, no music. And everybody praised that. They're like, whoa, that was a great choice. It's like, no, it wasn't. That's a space opera. Where's the fucking music? You know, there should be music that accompanies the battle. It's never been like that. That's not Star Wars. And you know, same with this. At least give it like a funky, like Blade Runner, you know, type futuristic soundtrack. Just something different, something alien. Not like you said, like a show or like a thriller. Star Wars is not a thriller. It's a fantasy. And you know, maybe that's the problem is. They don't really capture the uniqueness of the genre, which is that it is a you know, technically a science fiction movie because it involves like technology, but ultimately it really is a fantasy movie. And they're really just not capturing the sort of magic of that through the way that's shot.